On to the news about Rosetta. The landing site J has been chosen. It's located on top of the head of the comet, offers unique scientific potential, and hints there's hints of activity nearby. There's a minimum risk to the lander compared to the other candidate sites, and the decision to select J was unanimous amongst the selection committee. Now, the slopes there are less than 30 degrees to local vertical. If it's too steep, the lander could tip over. It's got relatively few boulders. After all, you don't want to sit on a boulder and then fall off it. And the site receives sufficient sunlight to allow continued solar-powered science operations once the batteries aboard Philae run flat. Now, we have this feature about the criteria for doing the landing site, and this feature was prepared a few days ago before the site announcement was made.
ESA's Mission Control has hosted many exciting missions, but none, it is fair to say, like Rosetta. And mission controllers and scientists are now hard at work studying the comet to prepare for a landing in mid-November. When the spacecraft's Philae lander begins its descent to comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, history will be made. Together with data from the Rosetta orbiter, the lander will provide unprecedented science and insights into our solar system. Choosing the right place to land is therefore crucial. Since going into orbit around Rosetta in August, five potential landing sites have been identified for a comet whose appearance resembles a space duck.
The shape of the comet is definitely a bit unexpected. I consider it at the same time fantastic. It's a unique object. On the other side, it has posed us some headaches in finding proper landing site because of this unusual shape.
Each shortlisted site is 1,000 meters in diameter, relatively smooth, and has the right communication and illumination conditions, as the lander needs sunlight to operate and recharge its batteries. The bottom of the comet won't work, for instance, because it spends too much time out of sunlight. One site will be chosen as the nominal or primary site, with a second as backup. All comets are dynamic, hurtling through space and releasing gases and material when nearing the sun. And this unpredictable activity could prove tricky.
The day we will do the landing, we will not know how the comet is behaving on that day. We cannot do weather forecast of the comet, we cannot do activity forecast of the comet. And this is what is posing the highest risk for the whole operation.
The lander's descent must be controlled slowly and with precision. Once on the comet, the 10 onboard instruments will be busy and the science on the surface can begin in earnest, imaging the local landscape from the surface, analysing its composition and drilling beneath the ground, all for the first time. Landing on a comet will be the cherry on the cake, as the orbiter's 11 instruments have been busy since May. And Rosetta has already produced more science than any other mission to a comet. And 67P is of great interest.
Scientifically, it's very entertaining. It has aspects of a number of different comets wrapped into one. So it offers so much for us scientifically, but also it's a massive challenge technologically. So this has been our realisation in the last few months. It's really coming home.
Rosetta is now within 20 to 30 kilometres of the comet. The more detail it collects, the more information scientists have to ensure the site they've chosen is the best one possible. It's a decision that will determine the continued success of an already successful mission.
So comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko is a double comet with a large body and a smaller head, and they're joined by a neck. In fact, it looks a little bit like a rubber duck that children have in their baths. The comet rotates about once every 12 hours, and as I said there, the shape will make the landing quite difficult. Now, none of the landing sites met all of the spacecraft operational criteria at the 100% level. Five candidate sites were selected using images taken 100 kilometres from the comet, and the decision was based on images taken from 30 kilometres away. The backup site was called C, and it was located on the body of the comet, and that site has few boulders and good illumination. Now, in order to choose the site, the team had to identify a safe trajectory for deploying Philae to the surface and the density of visible hazards in the landing zone. Another consideration was the balance of daylight and nighttime hours. Now, remember that Philae is solar-powered, although it does have batteries which will operate for a little while after separating from Rosetta. The frequency of communications passes with the orbiting Rosetta also had to be taken into account. Now, descent to the comet will take about 7 hours, and this is within the battery time that Philae has aboard. The descent is passive once Philae is released from Rosetta, so there's no chance to alter the trajectory. Once it's gone, released from Rosetta, that's it. It's on its way, and if it doesn't work out, well, too bad. There's nothing they can do to change it. It'll only be possible to predict the landing point to within a few hundred meters, and Philae will operate autonomously during the descent with no commanding or corrections from Earth possible. The final command set will be uplinked from the Lander Control Center at DLR, the German Space Center, to Philae via the Rosetta Mission Control before separation. Now, during descent, images will be taken. However, these will take days to replay back to Earth, so don't expect live television or instant photos during that landing event. Now, landing must take place before mid-November as the comet will grow more active as it orbits nearer the sun, and touchdown should be at the equivalent of walking pace. Harpoons and ice screws will immediately fix Philae to the surface, and Philae will then make a 360-degree panoramic image, and this will tell, first of all, where Philae actually is on the comet, and secondly, its orientation. Then after that image is done and sent back to Earth, then science operations will begin. And we don't know how long it will last because, you know, hopefully they're hoping it's going to last for several weeks or even months. But you never know with this sort of thing. Meanwhile, on Rosetta, there's an instrument called ALICE, A-L-I-C-E. And this has discovered that the comet is unusually dark in the ultraviolet. It's also shown that the comet's surface has no large water ice patches. It detected both hydrogen and oxygen in the comet's coma, suggesting that the water on the comet is being dissociated by sunlight. The first two of these findings have surprised the mission scientists. Well, Philae spent nearly 2 years, or around about 2 years, asleep on the way towards the comet, and in January they had to wake it up and bring it out of hibernation. And they had a songwriting competition for this, and or people invited to make little videos to wake up Rosetta. And this was by Hatsumu Miku, and she's from Canada. And she wrote this particular song for the wake up of Rosetta.
Through the deep mess of outer space, passing through a storm, storm yet keeping your wings out, moving away from your source of strength with the faint light from the sun. You keep there. I want to see the things that you will see, the shattering patch and reach a harder world. Wake up, Rosetta, warm up, Rosetta, I'm waiting for a signal. Wake up, Rosetta, warm up, Rosetta, you can find.
For local news and views and the greatest variety of music, this is Southern FM 88.3.